Thank you, Anne, for being our liturgist today. And Anne is so wonderful. You ask her to do something, she does it, and she goes beyond that, doing such a wonderful thing. But also, I'd like to thank Tim. Tim, thanks for that beautiful beginning with the music and the sound. Marvelous. And I'll have to tell you a little story about that a little bit later on. But before I do that, and I welcome you again, I'd like to welcome my children. I have two of them. Would you stand up? Stand up. Okay. All right. Well, and the reason I'm doing that, obviously, because Doug is in Oviedo and Eric is in North Carolina. And so they decided to come. I didn't even know they were coming. But anyhow, they were the original children when I began children's sermon here some 30 years ago, 40 years ago, whatever. Can you imagine that? And I met a man here not too long ago who was sitting in one of the pews who came to me, or he was sitting there, and Carolyn said to me, you know, somebody you know from way back then, and I came over, and he says, I was one of the children's sermons. So isn't that wonderful? And today, what we're doing today, we are dealing with remembrances, with things that we have had in the past that are memorable, things that have moved us or shocked us or triggered something in our lives that motivate us to do something different that we weren't even planning to do, but somehow it happens. This is God. And what I want to do today with you, all of us, is to, with the scripture's lesson, as Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me, that we need to remember the good things that happened in the past. Now, we need to remember that we have boys and girls dying for our country. And that's sad. At the same time, they're doing it in an honorable way for you and for me. And we need to thank God for that because it is good. It happens all the time. And we have people that are willing to die so that we have a free country, so that we have a nation that we can enjoy, so that we can do things that obviously other people can't. But God has blessed our nation, and we continue to pray for our nation, and we need to do that. So today we're going to deal with these two scriptures that Anne read as remembrances, or you might call them as bumps in the way. You know, we live from bump to bump in a way. As a matter of fact, Joshua found himself doing that, and even when he crossed the Jordan River, the people wonder, how are we going to do that? Well, God dried up the way of the Jordan River. We'll talk more about that later. But there were stones in the bottom, and they step on those stones because God always provides a way, and here he provides the stones or steps so that we can walk safely to the other side. There's always darkness around. It's always going to be that way. But we cannot stay in the dark. We need to look and see where God provides the opportunities for us not only to be saved, but to deal with what God has given to us and to be out there touching the lives of other folks. So, as we recall the very beginning of this service today, and we think of those who have given their lives, we remember also that there doesn't seem to be victory and joy and peace unless there's a struggle and pain and discouragement. You know how it is? But when we look at things in the way that God has provided for us to do, to look for Him, to pray, to ask God to deal with us, to move us in the direction that he wants us to move, then we move from those dark spots. It's a bump on the road. It's a good bump. Then he moves us so that we can move ahead and see that there are things out there that we hadn't seen before, possibilities, opportunities, and then he builds us up that way. Sometime back in this church, we had a Bible study, and with the children in Vacation Bible School, we dealt with a curriculum that dealt with children under construction. You remember that, some of you? Children under construction. What does that mean? Well, the whole idea is that children are growing up, that there are steps in that growth, way of growing. There are opportunities, but you know, that doesn't stop with children. It does so for all of us. We're all under construction. We're all moving into areas that we don't even understand, things we don't like, things we hate, things of suffering, things of pain, destruction. Look at what's happening in Ukraine. We don't understand that. Why and how and where do we put that in our minds? It's a bump in the road, and yet we see that there are people out there that are doing the very best they can, and we don't understand where they get all this spirit, only that God provides that. You know what happened in Texas just recently? And if somebody asks you, well, what do you tell one of those parents? What is there to tell? It's a bump, and it's a horrible bump. It's a tragedy. You know, the only thing, and I was thinking about what is happening to them and what I was going to tell you and what I would probably say to these parents in a way, not telling them what is the right way of going about it, but what Jesus said in the Bible. In Matthew 18 and 19, there are two particular scriptures where something is happening, which may have something to do with what Jesus wants to tell us. One of the disciples, or maybe several, they saw Jesus out there teaching and preaching and getting the people ready to listen to what he had to say up in Galilee. And I've been there. I've seen the hills. I've seen where Jesus was, and I can see that in my mind, where Jesus was. And then when all of a sudden, there were some children running around, and maybe they came over to Jesus, and who knows, 8 years old, 10 years old. And one of the disciples came and started pulling the children away. You remember that story? And Jesus said, do not take these children away from me. Do not hinder them. For theirs is the kingdom of God. Wow! What a marvelous thing to think that children are already part of God's kingdom. And then another occasion right in that area, one of the disciples asked Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom of God? And Jesus says, if you want to get into the kingdom of God, you've got to become like one of these children. For there is the kingdom of heaven. It already belongs to them. We don't even have to pray or ask. God has it all prepared and ready. We don't want to see that happen in terms of God, you know, and children moving into their kingdom of heaven until they grow up and are old and everything. But if this happens, if a tragedy happens, God has already a place prepared for our children. It's a marvelous thing that it's a step forward that we understand or may not understand, but we know that God has prepared for all of us in case that happens. As Tim was playing, and trying to remember things that happened in this church way back then, and maybe before that, the bumps that come, the opportunities that come, we don't call for them. We're not ready for them. But when they come, and we realize that it's something from God, it changes us, changes everything. I remember when I was in high school, and I was trying to make money for college, and then through college, and I went to work for an amusement park in called Willow Grove Amusement Park in near Philadelphia. Anybody heard that name anywhere? Okay, some of you have. Well, that park had been there for years and years, and it's not too far from Philadelphia, not too far from Washington's Crossing. And there's became a, eventually not only just a park, beautiful area with beautiful trees, willow trees all around, but it was a lake there. And in the middle of the lake, they built a gazebo. And in that gazebo, people used to go and take their bands and play music in the band for people in the area. And they enjoy that during weekends. Well, I learned, and it was a matter of great joy to me, that there was a man that had years back joined the military because his daddy was he had gone into the military years back. And so this young man decided to join in the Marines. That's where his daddy had gone. He joined the Marines and he joined the band. He told the people, he says, "I like to learn how to play the violin." And fine. But throughout his 4 years, he came with music that he composed that was beautiful, not only for us, America, but for all over the world. And Tim played one of those. Guess who that was? Anybody knows? John Philip Sousa. And it's amazing to know that a man way back then was such a wonderful person to touch us all as an American, but also in the world with the beautiful music that he composed. And when I asked Tim, I said, "Tim, can you play that?" "Yeah, we worked on that." And he did a beautiful job. And I just appreciate that so very much. Because John Philip Sousa has his music is amazing. And he not only plays the violin, but there is even an instrument called sousaphone that he invented. And he was great in music. But you know, while I was there also, working in this park, and I was young, and I dated a girl, and we went out dancing in Philadelphia. And there was a place called Bandstand. Anybody remembers Bandstand? Okay, Bandstand, rock and roll, those in the 1950s, you know. And it was a marvelous place. And who started that? Who began that? Anybody knows? Dick Clark did. And Dick Clark used to come over to my park and bring the dance over to our dance hall. And it was amazing. And then, you know, from then on, all of us saw Dick Clark at the end of the year. He would go to New York and bring the new year for years and years into our televisions and into our living rooms. Those are things that brighten our time. Those are bumps that are good bumps, things that we remember, things that we can share because they're all American dream things that we say they're wonderful and they bring us new courage and enthusiasm as to who we are, who God wants us to be. Well, then I went to Princeton Seminary. It's amazing. Things are all connected. Nothing is disconnected. Everything is connected. I went to Princeton Seminary, and while I was there, I was amazed at what happened to me, and I saw. Well, years back, going back to when I was growing up in Columbia, South America, My grandfather and I, we used to go out in riverboats. He was a riverboat inspector, one of those paddle boats, you know, that went in the river back and forth from little towns to little towns. He showed me the alligators running around and all that. It was a lot of fun. Well, he was a marvelous guy, marvelous man, had a family of 10 children. In those days, families were, and he was a good Catholic. And, well, you know, what are you going to do? But unfortunately, my grandfather, at the end of each week, and got his pay, and his friends stopped by before he went home and celebrated a little too much. And a happy hour got to him. And he became a victim of alcohol. Well, years went by, and I understand from my family that things weren't going so well in my grandfather's house. One day, my grandfather was walking in the city, and he heard some music or some talk, and he stopped by. It was a storefront mission. And the mission was led by some Presbyterian missionaries who had come over to hopefully bring to evangelize the folks and bring the evangelism and Christ to people. He walked in, and he heard the gospel. And he had never heard the word of the Lord read. And he went home, and he thought about it. He came back again, and he heard the missionaries again. He heard the word of the Lord, and when the missionaries gave an invitation, he came forward with a couple other men, gave his life to Jesus Christ, and he went back home. 3 weeks later, he came back to the missionaries. He says, I want you to baptize me and my family. Would you come over to my home and baptize us all? And the missionaries did. And that's how the Presbyterian Church got started in that city. I was in seminary then, learning from these great doctors of theology. All of a sudden, I see the name of Richard Shaw. And then I saw him, a man that I had known from when I was a little boy, who was a missionary, and he was my professor at seminary. And I thought, wow, what a marvelous thing. So we reacquainted ourselves. Of course, he didn't know me. I had just been a little boy. But this is how things happen. It's amazing that Dr. Eubank, going over now to somebody who did something in New Smyrna. Dr. Eubank was a retired minister, Presbyterian minister from Ninth Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia. And when he retired, he came to have a nice, great time here in New Smyrna. Well, fortunately, he got called by a few Presbyterians and said, you know, we want to start a church. And he agreed. And he became the first pastor of this church. And that was way back then. At that time, I was probably in high school, whatever. But his church was a very large church. It had grown. It had become larger because there were several churches who were dying, and they became all together and became over 1,000 member church. And the story at this point is that Dr. Eubank was ordained by the Presbytery of Philadelphia years back. Guess who was going to be ordained now? Me, Presbyterian church pastor of this church, has also been ordained by the Philadelphia Presbytery. That's meaningful to some of us. It's meaningful to me. It's a bump on the road. How does God do that? But he does it, and it happens. And then we needed a chapel in this church. When I came, the chapel was here already. But you know how that happened? Well, there was me way back in college, met an 18-year-old girl, married her in Bradford, Pennsylvania. I don't know if you know where that is. It's way up in the western part of Pennsylvania. You know what happened there historically? That was the very first place that oil was discovered in America. Not Texas. I thought it was Texas. Not Oklahoma. But it's a little village out there where the Indians had seen this thing, and they used to pick it up and put it into little vessels and sell them as medicinal purpose. Yeah. Well, when I met my future wife, I said, well, so you're from Bradford, and what's your dad's business? What's he into? She says, into oil. Okay. She said, yeah, we got one of those big hammers in the backyard. Wow. I said, hey, I'm doing really well. There's a possibility here. Well, so I met her dad and I met everybody and eventually married. Well, he was one of the original and one of the last people who built these derricks. Whenever they dug a well, they built a derrick, you know, and then the well was shut and oil went up and this kind of thing. Well, he was one of those. He built this thing. There is a museum there now in his name. And what he used to do then after that was to put dynamite in the well and then go out to the shed where he found a little container with something that would light up in there. And he would take this very careful and drip it in there and run. And as he was running, there was an explosion. And boom, it went. And oil was dripping all over. And he was into oil, literally, by the time he got to that shed. Well, guess what? Mrs. Abram was the lady who helped us build the chapel. Her husband was a very big person, probably one of the owners of Quaker Oil Company, who bought all that oil there. And so there was a lot of money there involved. She married him. Somehow he had a heart attack and died. Then she remarried 5 years later. The man had a heart attack and died. Then she did that 4 times. She decided marriage was not her thing. So she bought a home here on Faulkner Street to come and vacation here and then during winter time and go back to Bradford, which is the coldest place in Pennsylvania. But there she was doing that. Well, in the meantime, she provided monies to build the chapel here. When I came as pastor, I used to go visit her here. And every time I went out there, she would say, oh, Reverend, don't go yet, because I got something here for you. And she started writing a check for $1,000 or $2,000 for the church. And I said, you embarrass me. She said, no, this is for the church. She was a Presbyterian, and she wanted to touch the Presbyterians in this area. When she died, she left a lot of money to the Presbyterian hospital in New York City. Now, to bring things back here again to the church, do you remember a young woman here who sings sometimes with the pastor? Her name is Sally Abrams. She's a great-granddaughter of this lady. And she lives here in New Smyrna. She's away now today, during this time. But see how God works miracles. Amazing things happen. God is always there, prepared to touch us. Joshua came and was ready to lead the people of Israel after 40 years. And there was nobody else to do it except him. And he was willing to do it. He was brave. And he got all this man, but he forgot one thing, and I'll tell you what it was. Well, at this point, he had all these men over, all these young men, and they were going over to cross the Jordan and go into the promised land. And they had to get to Jericho, big walled city, and they had to, you know, get in there, and that was kind of going to be hard. Well, as he was going out there, all of a sudden, he finds this great, huge warrior. Stop. Where are you going? Well, here's Joshua, and he was a warrior. He says, oh, are you with us or against us? That's a good question. And the man says, I am the commander of the armies of the Lord. Take off your sandals, for where you stand is holy ground. Now, have you heard that before in the Bible? Yeah. Moses, he saw a tree that was burning, but it would not be consumed. And the word of the Lord came and said, Moses, take off your sandals, for where you're standing is holy ground. Friends, what I'm trying to say to you is that God is not just history in the past, in the Bible. God keeps doing things over and over with you and with me forever. No matter what is happening to us, sometimes bad things. Sometimes you say, well, there's no hope for me, or I'm not good for anything, or I'm getting too old to do this or that. God is always opening a new door. Are you for me or against me? And God says, take off your sandals and listen to me, because I got something to tell you. And at this time, this great warrior said to Joshua, this is what you need to do when you enter the city. So he gave him instructions. And the very first thing that Joshua thought, oh no, we forgot something. And we cannot proceed until we do this. All these young men came to in the desert 40 years. Their dads died. And we forgot to do what needs to happen. We remember the Passover meal. We remember all other kind of things that we need to do. But boys, I hate to tell you, but you better go to the doctor. You need to be done. You know what that means? They had not been circumcised. And in order to do the Lord's work, they needed to be cleansed and ready in every which way. So all these boys, they were not too happy. But before that, before the big war, the big battle took place, they had to be ready to do it the Lord's way. Not my way, not their way, the Lord's way. And this commander of the army of the Lord said to Joshua one more thing. He says, and when you enter, make sure that you do not do anything against Rahab. Rahab and her family are to be totally safe. They belong to the Lord. Rahab was a prostitute, folks. Now, you know, this is one of the things that, again, the Bible tells us. God does miracles with you and with me. When we take Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He changes us. He gives us new possibilities. Things begin to happen like we never thought would. And here is this woman who has obviously accepted the Lord because she said, I will save these spies that came in from the Israelites. And she saved them so that they could go back to the desert and tell Joshua that everything was going to be ready for them to come into the city. A prostitute. You know what that reminds me of? That we're sinners. And here God has chosen a sinner to open the doors of the city, the promised land of God. Does that make sense? But you know what else? When Jesus died on that cross, He had two thieves next to Himself. And the one said, Jesus, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. And Jesus said, oh no, you haven't been, you haven't had the Lord's Supper. You haven't been baptized the right way, the Presbyterian way, the Baptist way. No. What did Jesus say? Today, no questions asked, today you will be with me in paradise. Doesn't that make you feel a little bit better? Yeah. Because no matter who you are, who I am, no matter how many good things we do, we're still sinners, but we have Jesus Christ, our leader, and He moves on. He continues to cleanse us. He continues to move us on. And then a new door opens. One more thing, and I'll close. When I came to this church, I was renting an airplane in the airport. As a pilot, I didn't have an airplane, so I needed to rent airplanes. Expensive and not easy to do. But I met a group called Civil Air Patrol, and there were about three men there. And they knew that I was a minister, and they felt that they needed not only a pilot, but they needed somebody from a church designated to teach the young people, because that was a requirement of Civil Air Patrol, about spiritual things. I said, well, I don't know how we can work that. But it became then a mission of this church that for 12 years, we had 23 so many kids, boys and girls, 9th grade to 12th grade, who would come, and I would teach them the Bible, and I would teach them aviation language, and I would take them out flying down the way on the beach and show them. You see, Civil Air Patrol, way back then, and it's amazing, what they did, and these civilians would take their little airplane, go down the shoreline, checking for German submarines. So I would take these kids, and we didn't find any submarines at that time. But we were looking mostly for drugs coming from Puerto Rico and from other places, Colombia, airplane or by boat. And if we found anything, we would call the Coast Guard, which is right here in our shores, and say, there's movement out there. You better go check it. At one time, we found boats and all kinds of junk used by the Cubans when they were coming down this way. You remember that. And there were some never made it. But we found things there on the beach, and we just contact the Coast Guard, and they would go check it out. Well, this church became had as a goal too, as a mission goal, that Civil Air Patrol, we would bring the kids here, and they would look at the flag, and they would bring it, and they would bring the flag in, and do things that we usually do in the military way, and present the flag and that kind of thing, and all dressed up with the Air Force uniform. Guess where I got the Bibles from? The Air Force would send me the Bibles. The Air Force, through the Pentagon, would send me the curriculum to follow, teaching them the Christian faith. Can you imagine that? And I thought, well, you know, there's no way that I could ever thought of ever establishing a program like this. It was a mission. Most of those kids never went to church anywhere. Their parents would come in and sometimes take part in the discussions. When a kid finished up the program, following all the regulations that we had, we would write a letter to their congressman saying, this young man or girl has completed the program, and they knew all about it. By the way, John McCain had been in that program for years, and we would communicate. As a matter of fact, if we needed an airplane, he was at that point in charge of the of that kind of thing, and we would tell the Air Force, you know, they need an airplane in that squadron in New Smyrna, and we'd get the airplane. Did I have to rent an airplane? No more. I had an airplane there, sitting there for me at any time I wanted it. God bless those kids. God bless their parents. And college was open for them with scholarships if they wished to, as long as they completed their program. And this church was very much a part of the mission of the of that program, because they were very supportive. Friends, you see what we can do together, and what happens when we celebrate those bumps that we don't even understand or know why they happen. And some bumps are bad, but then we move from them to another, to something else, because there's always a transition. As a matter of fact, Demosthenes, years back, way back in Greece, said, there's always a beginning to everything, and there's always an ending, but there's always a middle. And he said, it is the middle that really counts, because you have something to do with it. And we would say, God has something to do with it, and he leads us there. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for giving us a nation, giving us freedom, giving us opportunities, giving us people who are willing to die that we may have these freedoms. We thank you for the bumps that come to our lives. Some are not so good, and some are shocking. But Lord, you provide the transition to newness, to goodness, to new life, new opportunities, new ways of looking at old ways, and then to follow you. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who says, when you take the bread and the cup, do this in remembrance of me. And thank you, Lord, that we can remember not only what he did for us, but what he has done for so many. And we pray that you will touch us so that we can touch others and bring the gospel of good news through Jesus Christ, that they too may have life and life eternal. In Jesus' name, amen.